Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something died.
You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
Everything.
It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell is that?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Today's show is all about grass, weed, and that's right, we're not talking about cannabis, Peter.
That would be plural, weeds.
Why'd you bring my name up right away?
Well, come on now. You look a little red-eyed from time to time.
But no, easy now.
We're talking all about grass and landscaping and keeping your trees and flowers alive, and it's all about fertilization. And more importantly, your irrigation system to keep that alive. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike.
That's right, and much more on the Ameritech Connection.
Yes, all right. We're real excited today. We've got John Evans of John Evans Lawn and Landscaping Company, and he's been in business since 1995. He is a trusted preferred vendor with Ameritech Community Management. We use him on a lot of our properties because he's reliable. His people do a great job. And we're just real happy to have you on the show here today, John.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks. John, how long have I known you? I've known you for a long time.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think I met you, 20 years ago at Huntington Trails when we first took over that community. In fact, the board came to me and said, if you fire John, you're gone. And you're still.
So obviously, still we didn't there. Fire John.
Obviously, you're still doing a great job because you're still there.
Thank you.
All right, John, real quick, you know, homeowners, how can they actually keep their lawn looking their best? Even though it sounds like a simple question, there's so much involved in that, and it depends on the time of the year, the season, and what's going on. So could you just
Very
talk
true.
A little bit about that?
There's so much to consider.
Okay.
For me, it really starts with sharp blades. If you're
Good
not cutting
point.
With sharp blades, mm-hmm. it tends to rip the grass instead of cutting it nice and even.
And that turns them brown, right, at the
tips?
It does,
yes. It turns it. The mm-hmm. term is brown tip. Mm-hmm. And it contributes to disease and...
That's right, because it weakens it, right?
It does.
I guess.
It
okay.
does.
Well,
yeah.
it rips it right out of the grass, too. Or
it rips the roots
the
top
out.
Of the grass.
It rips, yeah, the top. So it looks like something was chewing on it versus just a cut,
yes.
a nice cut.
So cutting it, having sharp blades, obviously, is one thing. What else? I mean, obviously, watering, and what else do you got to do?
There's a whole list here. Watering is crucial, obviously. We're going into the dry season now.
Right.
Usually April, May is the driest time of the year for us here in Florida, especially on the West Coast. So the irrigation has to be up to snuff, usually having it inspected before springtime is a good thing.
Which you do as a landscaping company, yes, right? Yeah. You make sure the irrigation is taken care of. I mean, especially if it's your grass.
Right.
I mean, you kind of take everything. You take ownership to everything that you do. That's why you're such
it's
a great landscaper.
Yes.
Right, right.
So besides the irrigation, you got to think about the pest control and fertilization too.
Right.
Which because you can water the heck out of it, but if you're just giving water to those little insects, right? If they're killing your roots.
Well, speaking of watering the heck out of it, you know, John, you just did, you know, our new Port Richey office, and you put landscaping,
beautiful palm
bushes.
Trees.
Oh, yeah, you did
Thank you. Beautiful job
out there.
Thanks.
And he said to me, he said, you got to water it, Mike. So I said, okay, fine. So, you know, typically that office has a $30 a month water bill. You know, they flush the toilet and they, you know, they drink water and stuff like that. So it's not much. The first month, because we were watering all your landscaping, which is beautiful. I mean, we put 21 trees on a small pod, so, you know, pad. So it really was a lot. But our first
bill. Not overkill at all.
So, well, I like the difference.
it does look good.
The first bill was $750.
Yep.
Then I knew I had a problem when I got the second bill and I started seeing all these dollar weeds. Now, they call those dollar weeds.
Dollar weeds are from overwatering, for
sure. I mean,
I didn't know that.
It's a dollar problem. I mean, you know.
It is a dollar problem.
Yeah, I've seen those in my own lawn. I wondered what
that was. But it was $1,400 for the second month.
I mean, I would have woken up with the $750, but, I would be like.
But you're going to go out there and you're going to make sure that maybe I need
that. Yeah, we're going to pressure test the system, make sure there's no cracks in the pipes. Right. Start there.
So how often do you change blades or sharpen blades?
Every day. All the crews have fresh blades on their mowers. Depending on the workload of that day, sometimes they're changed out by lunchtime. Like I said, sharp blades is pretty crucial.
All right, but then you also, or so I've heard, is that you can carry over from one lawn to another if you have any, if you're mowing someone's lawn that has a fungus, let's say, can that be carried over on those blades?
Yes, disease, well, not so much disease, but fungus can be carried over, and chinch bugs can tend to come with the deck of the mower as well.
But there's just nothing you can do about that,
Well, we try to clean off the decks before each property.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Not too many landscaping companies are doing that.
No, I wouldn't think so. No, I don't think I've seen that before.
Right.
That's good.
Right.
All right, so how much should one water their grass? I guess there's got to be a system to that per section.
There is a system, but it all starts with checking with Pinellas County.
Okay.
They have a list of types. Times that
have to be watered. Yeah, times depending on your, is it your house number?
It's your actual address, yes.
Your address, okay.
The address will determine the day you can water or days, depending if they cut it back or not.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll cut it back, especially in reclaim situations.
So what happens if they tell me not to water because it's not my day and I do it anyways? Do I get in trouble?
You can. Yes, yeah, they can fine you. They can give you a
ticket. Don't they give warnings?
They can give a warning,
If they want to be.
Repeatedly.
Depending on how bad our drought is, right?
Well, see, she would do something like that.
I would do that.
I would never do that.
I would do that. I would be the one with the nice green grass.
And she'd have fines that she'd
end up. Right. Keep up appearances.
Yeah. No, exactly, right? But it's not just about the watering. It's about all the other things that we're going to be talking about here. So so if you water too much, as we said, you get the dollar weed.
Yeah.
And
there's other problems with overwatering,
Well,
too.
I guess bugs, too, right?
What are some of the other problems with
overwatering? Yeah, because...
Fungus, usually in the middle of the rainy season, it starts in June, July, goes through September. Usually August, September with the heavy rains, water can puddle on your yard and cause fungus. And same with overwatering period with your irrigation. So it's always...
So if you underwater, you got a problem. If you overwater, you got a problem. So you got to get that down.
And if you overwater, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
It will cost someone.
Right. In more ways than one.
Yep.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about grass. You're giving me this hand sleep here, and I'm not quite sure where you're going.
That means we got a phone call here. Go on to the phone lines.
All right. We're like, okay, someone going to sleep on the line there.
I'm not sure
going
now
to sleep.
After you made that joke came in.
I figured you got the munchies. You're going to sleep.
I mean, just because I got the big pizza in the back doesn't mean I do it. All right, here we go. Go ahead.
Hey, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air live talking to John Evans. What's your question?
Hi, are you speaking to me?
I am speaking to you. Who is this?
Oh, you know what it is? I've got you on the car. Hold on. I gotta get rid of that. Okay. There. Now I think I'm talking. Hello?
Yes, we're here.
We can hear you.
All right, I'm sorry. Anyway, do you know about the Neighborhood Coalition in Clearwater where It's called the Coalition of Clearwater Neighborhoods, or Coalition of Neighborhoods. Okay, Clearwater Neighborhood Coalition. That's what it is. CNC, Clearwater Neighborhood Coalition.
What is that? Is that some sort of a landscaping grant or program that they got going on in Clearwater?
No. What it is, I mean, it's not applicable to what you're talking about right now because I called earlier before I knew what you were talking about. But it's a group that it's a 501(c)(3) nonprofit, and it. It's the voice for all the neighborhoods in Clearwater, but of course you have to become a member.
Right.
But they have monthly meetings the first Monday of the month. And so they have a website. So I just thought you might want to, you know.
Just be aware of it.
Yes, be aware of it. Because if there is an issue also, many times it affects many neighborhoods at the same time. So they try to speak as one voice, or they will actually go to bat for a particular neighborhood if there's an issue. This is related to
we'll do that.
If there's problems, the city can solve.
Well, okay. One more time. What's it called? The Clearwater
CNC, Clearwater Neighborhood Coalition.
All right.
Okay,
well,
got
our
it.
Listeners are listening. Thank you so much
for
calling.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so, John, how should one choose a grass type? Now, I know sometimes it's actually in the restrictions if you're in a deed-restricted community and they dictate, you know, what you can have. But what would you suggest?
I mean, you got good grass and you got bad grass, right?
You do. You have drought-tolerant grass.
Peter's laughing over
there. What's funny about that?
Peter acknowledges good grass versus bad grass.
No, I'm just playing it. I'm playing along here. I'm just playing along.
Okay,
with
all right.
It.
Yeah, so there's good and there's bad, like in everything else.
It's not so much bad, but they... Yeah. The drought-resistant grasses tend to go brown, especially in the winter months, and will come back nice and lush in the summer months when it starts raining.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also cheaper, and you'll see them a lot on roadways and parks, all your city parks.
Oh, okay.
That's what the grass is there. But like you were mentioning, a lot of HOAs, condos, they will require a Floritam or St. Augustine.
Right.
Which is a little more lush, but it takes a little more upkeeping.
That's one of the things I learned when I moved to Florida is a different type of grass, because up north in New York, you have this real soft grass. You can walk on it barefoot.
Yes.
And it feels real good.
There is a big
and
difference.
And here, there is a big difference. So,
St. Augustine's the best. Then you got what?
Bermuda.
Well, if you're going with the drought resistant, you have Centipede, Bahia, Bermuda. Zoysia is relatively a new breed that's around for the last 12 years or so.
Okay.
It's gaining some...
And then some do well in the sun, and some do better in the shade.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, there's also some shade grasses.
Yeah, what's the shade grass?
The shade grass is Seville and Palmetto.
Seville
we
and
need
palmetto.
To know that.
You got that, Peter?
Yeah. And it can take a little bit
notes.
It can take a little bit of sun, though, right?
It can take sun.
Okay, just not direct.
And it's in the same family as a St. Augustine grass or Floritam.
Oh, okay.
The blades are a little bit smaller, but you get the same look.
And what was that called again?
A Seville.
Okay.
Or right. Palmetto.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
So, John, what is a Florida-friendly landscaping? I mean, what is
that's
that all
one
about?
For me. That's when someone else is doing it, taking care of it. You know, that's friendly for me.
Very friendly. Florida-friendly is a system of drought-resistant plants and a drought-resistant grass in your landscape.
Like cactus.
You could use a cactus.
Kind of sure. Like maintenance-free, like you did to the our Newport Ritchie office.
Yeah, it's based on maintenance-free. It'll use less water after it is rooted in. Of course, you still need to water it when it's...
How long does it take for a palm tree, like what we planted in Newport Ritchie?
Actually,
how long
up
does that
to
take
6 months.
To
oh, that's
really?
Right. Yeah. I mean, those trees are beautiful.
Are they shallow? Are they shallow?
They
roots?
Are very shallow. Mm. Palm trees only have a ball. And as they get bigger, they go a little bit deeper. You might have maybe a 3 foot deep ball,
right,
and that's it, and that's why they'll fall over. And
you can't easily move them, can you? Like if you were to uproot that and maybe cut the...
Do you remember our manager Scott? He backed into one of them.
Well, that's true, but I'm talking about like actually moving it to another location.
It can be dug up and retransplanted. Sure.
Okay, yeah. They're pretty hardy that way.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's
but
good
so in
time.
6 months, those should be all those ball heads should be completely filled out. Right.
They should start filling up.
Yeah. Yeah.
They look good. They are strapped right now. We're going to let that, you know, usually 6 months.
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
But yeah. I'm going to suggest maybe going through hurricane season, just another couple
of
months.
We can keep it till the end of the year.
Okay.
You know, I'm fine with that.
Now, I know that John Evans Landscaping, that you do mostly commercial, but you do a little bit residential. But
yes.
If you were an association and then maybe a resident, homeowner, where would you begin with a landscaping plan? Let's say you don't, it's kind of bare bones and you want to just rip it out and you want to start over. How do you go about, do you design a layout for these?
Now, it's not like me where I say, give me 21 palms here and five here.
Well,
I
mean, sometimes the homeowner or business owner
has an idea.
Mm-hmm. And it's most of the time you can go exactly what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. Some things have to be changed, maybe the size of the plant underneath an awning or things like that, mm-hmm. direct sun.
Right, because most people, when they talk about trees, for instance, or shrubs, they're not thinking about where they're going to grow in 5 years, 10 years.
That happens a lot,
right?
Actually. 5, 10, 15 years down the road, their palm tree is now 25, 30 foot tall, and it's too close to the house,
right.
too close to the driveway.
Right.
Now, what's also interesting, these plants have a life just like we do.
They have a lifespan.
Yeah, and some of these plants, they die, and people, well, didn't I water it? Did I fertilize it wrong? Or whatever the case may be. But in essence, it was probably, what's a life expectancy of a plant? You know, trees obviously are,
a
long time.
Trees and plants are all, a lot of plant species have different lifespans. The more hard-wooded plants, such as like an Indian hawthorn or a viburnum.
Right.
That's what I was going to ask you. What's their life?
They can go 20, 30 years.
Okay, because mine actually died on the side of my house, so it doesn't get a tremendous amount of light. So I thought, God, I thought this would live forever.
She doesn't have a green thumb, though. I think it
died.
No, I do. Because, oh, do you?
No, I do.
Really?
Yeah, they lasted maybe 12 years, 14 years, something like that.
There's a lot of things that can happen. It could have got diseased. It could have got root rot. Maybe there's a lot of water that sits on the side of the house, and it's always wet.
Oh, okay. Or... back to the watering thing. They weren't watered enough.
It could be.
And we haven't even started talking about fertilization yet. Yeah. So it could have been that too.
We were talking.
Bugs also will attack, like a viburnum. You can get aphids on them and that will destroy them.
Well, also, since you spoke of that, I mean, using Roundup too around some of these plants will shorten the life because it does kind of...
get into the root system?
Actually, the only time Roundup will kill a plant is if it actually sprayed on the plant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not systemic. It doesn't seep into the soil. There are other chemicals to ward off weeds and things like that that are systemic, will go into the soil, the roots will grab it, and it will kill the plant.
Well, for palm trees, for example, I mean, you always have weeds around the palm trees, and you don't want to weed whack them because then you start beating up the base of the palm tree.
It's true. Yeah, you try to keep a base or a border around a palm tree, or any tree for that matter.
Oh, really?
But if you're putting Roundup around that tree, eventually you don't think it's...
as long as you don't spray on the palm tree itself, you're fine.
So the Robolinis, when I had them on the flips, on the backside of them, there was that white powdery stuff. I don't know if there's, what is that called? Is that spiders or?
It could be a spider. It could have been, it could also still be aphids.
Oh, okay.
Was it black and white or just white?
Just white.
Just white.
What's aphids?
So it could have been a fungus.
Oh,
okay. You know how, what I was told is
it's tough to
I love how you're intently listening there, Peter.
He's trying to get educated here.
He's like, wow.
No, it's an interesting show.
I know.
Listening.
I think it's interesting too.
Absolutely.
Especially after we told him there's all sorts of different types of grass out there.
I know. He's already getting the papers out. So what I was told is to get
no more than I do. You guys got more papers in there than I got.
to get in a spray bottle, water mixed with Dawn soap.
Yes,
and that's what I used. I didn't use chemicals.
Yep, that works fantastic. Usually,
so what is it? Why is it Dawn soap versus any of the others? I'm just curious. What's in it?
Sure. Well, I believe it's all soaps you can use.
Oh, okay.
Dawn happens to be a favorite.
See, Dawn gets the publicity, and I go out and buy just the Dawn.
And that does work. And what if it's on a King
Well, they
Sago.
Clean the little ducklings, too. You ever see that on TV?
Oh, yes. I like when they're cleaned.
Oil out.
Yeah, so that actually, that's effective then?
Yeah, that works really good on, say, a King Sago palm where it gets covered. You can spray it, then trim back the bushes, and it usually comes back very healthy.
You have to keep
applying.
Wasn't there a fungus on some of these palms?
You stole my line. That's what I was going to say. There was one going around. It was killing the queen, though, not the king.
It was in Texas.
Decline.
Yeah, she's from Texas.
No, it was here.
What?
I lost mine.
It's called Texas Decline.
Oh, Texas Decline. See? It was from Florida, not Texas.
Yeah,
you got that wrong.
No, mine here actually died from that, and they were kind of
attacking
just
several different palm trees at the time.
Was it just the queen?
No,
all of them?
It's
okay.
Not all of them, but it's affecting a lot of them.
Is that still around?
It is.
Oh, yeah. I didn't
know. So is
know
there
that.
Any?
They're beautiful.
I was told that like baking powder or something like that could kill the fungus that's on there for those trees that are infected. I mean, is there any?
Brandy, he's an entomologist that works with me, and there is no cure.
There is no cure.
No, you can try to abate it by fertilization and other things, but as of right now, there is no cure.
But if you have an affected tree like that that's going to die for some sort of fungus, is it wise to, when it does pass, first of all, does it travel to other trees?
Absolutely. It's a good practice that we do is we wipe down our blades. If we're trimming palms and one is infected and we're not taking it out, we'll wipe down our blade chainsaw blades with alcohol.
That's a good point.
Alcohol,
and
right?
Only John Evans Landscaping Services do that, right?
I'm not sure about that, but I'm hoping.
No, the answer to that would be yes. All right.
Now, if that tree dies and you're going to replant another tree in the same spot, is that a good idea?
Not in the same spot.
Okay, yep. So move it over like how many feet? 3 feet, 4 feet?
At least 3-4 feet. You want to make sure it's not in the same base.
Right.
Because you're not going to get all the spores removed.
All right, Peter, we got somebody on hold.
Kimberly on the line.
Hi, Kimberly. You've got the Ameritech connection here with John Evans Lawn Care. Do you have a question for him?
Yes. How often do you have to remulch your property?
Oh.
Well,
whenever it goes away, I would think.
Yeah,
but
most of the time it'll start dissipating.
I didn't know if there was a certain rule.
I'm the technical one here on the, I'm sorry, John, go
ahead. There is no certain rule that we go by. Usually it'll start dissipating or fading in color, and most homeowners or condo associations will just want to go ahead and refresh it.
So it's maybe
it's up to the homeowner,
two to three times a year, possibly?
I'd say, two times a
year. Well, the weeds start growing through, especially the red mulch, which looks the best.
Yes.
Red,
The mulch does suppress weeds
to
a certain point, absolutely.
Now, what about palmetto bugs and cockroaches and, bugs?
They're the same.
Insects. Do they get infested with mulch, especially if you have it up around your house?
Yeah, you're supposed to leave it a good 6 inches away from any structure.
Okay.
Now, most mulch that you buy in bags is actually treated, so you don't have to worry about termites and things like that. Most bulk mulch that is installed is not usually treated, maybe just in color.
So if you get a couple of yards on a dump truck, then you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, most of the time it's not treated.
Right.
Okay. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening because we're going to be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Honey, why is the house on fire?
Well, Charles, I told you to feed Fluffy before you left for work, and...
You're joking, right?
She was very upset.
Aegis Insurance Group provides insurance for your personal or business needs, providing insurance for condominium and homeowner associations, automotive, boats, and recreational vehicles. We have you covered. We will find the perfect coverage at an affordable price for your needs. 727-216-4088. 727-216-4088. With over 60 years' experience, you can trust us with your insurance needs.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tantalk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tantalk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves in providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is John Evans. He's the CEO and owner of John Evans Lawn Care. We're talking today about, obviously, lawn care, keeping your grass green, your flowers blooming, and your trees alive and vibrant. So, John, I'm kind of curious. Just tell us a little bit about the longevity of your clients. I know there's a lot involved, and it's a highly competitive industry, and it's very subjective. You know, you could have, you know, homeowners that 50% of them love your work, and the other is like, well, I've got this little patch of dead grass over here, and I don't like our landscaper. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. We've been blessed. Some of our customers have been with us 20 years plus.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, you can be blessed all you want, and I appreciate being blessed, but at the same time, you got to do a good job to keep them
and to
for
keep
20
them for 20 years.
I agree.
He's doing a great job.
There's a lot to be said with getting back to the customer, you know, if they're needing something or if something is wrong.
That's very important.
Yeah, we try to respond very quickly.
So you stay in the loop with everything.
Yeah, I am definitely in the loop, but it does come a lot to do with our guys. We have a lot of longevity with our guys too.
Okay.
Some of our work has been with us 18 years now.
Oh, wow. So retention is very important to you, too.
It is. They're on the same job site all the time. They know what the customer or HOA is looking for. So we try not to deviate from that, and it seems to work.
Well, you, for an example, started your company in, well, like, what, 1995?
1995,
mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
And I know you still have your first client.
I do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
I have
you
my
just
first
talked about
commercial
that.
Client.
Yeah, and let's see, you've been doing Countryside Key for what, 20 years or 15 years?
15 years, I believe, yeah.
And then Huntington Trails, another one of our clients you've been doing. I know you've been doing that since 98. That's
yeah,
a week.
Long time.
Right. So
we have many accounts throughout Pinellas that we've
And again, it's so challenging because when you're hired on by a particular board of directors that like, you know, what you said in your proposal and your plan, but then boards change, you know, and
they
personalities
do.
Change,
yep.
And their likes change. So how do you keep up with that?
There's a lot of meetings and conversations about moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So it's all about communication to these people, right?
I agree. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is communication.
Yeah, so you just got to keep in the loop, return the phone calls, take care of the problems. You know, it's not so much that you might have a problem with one of your workers or some shoddy work at some point in time. We all make mistakes. It's how you fix the problem, right? I mean, you're right on it. You take care of the problem.
No one is perfect, and I tell my customers, you know, we will get back to you if something is wrong, and we correct it rather quickly.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, it's a testament to the kind of landscaping company he owns, so that's interesting, John. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Hey, what are brown patches in grass? I mean, we always see these little brown patches all over the place, and, you know, when I look at it in my lawn, I say, what is that?
You know? Most of the time, brown patches is a fungus. It can be caused from overwatering, or especially in the summer months when we get the heavy downpours, water will tend to puddle. And you'll get brown spots throughout the yard, and that's fungus, and that can be treated.
Okay, so I mean, so basically, when you treat it, it'll just kind of like fill back in, then, right?
Over time, yeah.
Over
it's
time,
not,
right.
It's not rather quickly, but you can cure it. You don't want to let it go; it'll be quite costly.
Right, right.
Well, we've been talking about watering and that sort of thing. So, and the blades, of course. But what about pest control? Because we know that's one aspect of keeping our flowers beautiful and our trees growing and our grass green.
Yeah. Pest control and fertilization is key. Mm-hmm. That's a great word for it.
Mm-hmm.
Florida lawns will not survive, especially without pest control.
Right, because of the heat.
Because of the heat, the amount of bugs that will attack your lawns and destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
Fertilization is key also, but there's usually a ban in the summer months, usually from June until October. You can't apply fertilization.
So trucks, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Pinellas County.
Oh, okay.
Now, the trucks will still be out during those months treating the lawns for pests, nothing will invade.
Mm-hmm.
But
Interesting.
Definitely key.
Peter, we got somebody on the air?
We got Sarah on the line.
Sarah, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're live on the air. What's your question, Sarah?
Yeah, I'd like to know. I have moles in my yard. And
moles?
Is that something that, yeah.
What do they look like?
Little
no, moles are like holes, like, aren't they?
They're tiny little brown,
yes.
ugly creatures.
Oh, tiny
and,
little
And listen,
brown.
Okay, let's test my knowledge here. Do they go after the grubs? Is
they
that
do.
Their...
That's,
oh.
Yes,
so,
you, okay.
so maybe moles are good?
So...
Well, no, if you get grubs, that's a bad sign as well.
Yeah, but the moles kind of cause havoc because they lift the sod.
The turf.
Right?
They do.
The turf.
Yeah, you have little hills all over your yard.
Yes. Yeah. You can go to Home Depot if it's your personal home, if you don't have a pest control company taking care of your yard, and they do sell products for moles. And if not, if you have a pest control company, I would just give them a call and they'll come out and treat it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're
Sarah,
welcome.
Thank you so much for calling. So chinch bugs are always an issue, too. Now, I mean, I see those little critters all over the place on
yeah,
my
I'd
lawns.
Have to say they do the most damage.
They do, because you see your lawn slowly, and you see just the roots of your lawn actually kind of getting eaten up. The
that's
only thing
what
that's
they
left,
do, yeah. Right. They're tiny little pests, and you can barely see them if you go digging in the
yeah.
in the dirt, and you can spread the dirt out enough to get a small glimpse of them.
Yeah.
But that falls in line with pest control.
So
yeah, I want to go back a little bit on the pest control because we took that caller. But so with pest control and fertilization, do you put a different product down for, let's say, palm trees versus the grass versus...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes,
so is some granular, some's liquid?
Absolutely. Most of the time, you'll switch back and forth with the turf between liquid and granular. Most of the time, it's just a granular for plants and palms and trees.
You know, a lot of times you hear people complaining, "Oh, well, my guy came in spring and he was in and out in seconds, and that's all he did is he just threw that wand around and then left." You
well,
know,
it depends on what time. You know, maybe he's just spraying with the wand at that point.
Not your company.
No, I'm just saying.
Not your company,
general,
but just so I can
in general
clarify that.
Yeah.
But I was just curious. Okay.
Now, weed control is always a problem, too. I mean, I'm sure you've gone out there where you've probably looked at some turf and said, well, it's 50% weeds.
Yeah.
And if I'm not careful, if I spray too much weed control, you may not have any turf. So how do you handle a situation like that? I mean, that's got to be a slow progress.
That is a slow progress, and sometimes you'll run into like a carpet grass that can't be treated. The only thing you can actually do is have it removed and resod.
Wow.
But other weeds can be treated usually in the off season. You don't treat right in the middle of the summer because of the heat that tends to kill the grass.
Yeah. Is there any difference between mulching with the wood mulch versus rocks? I mean, is there an advantage of one over the other?
I don't think there's an advantage, but it
just the look,
it's preference.
All,
yeah,
okay.
Rock.
Well,
you
did shells at the Newport.
Yeah,
Newport
that's
Richard.
Right.
Yeah, we did crushed shell. It's a good alternative. It's not as expensive as rock.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that.
It
okay.
lasts a long time. You can refreshen it, and it looks great every year or so.
Right.
It doesn't take a lot of material to refreshen.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
now,
okay.
Now, we get a lot of communities that always want to spruce up their front area, their entrance area, with annuals and...
Spruce.
Hey, spruce is a word.
Come on, Peter, help me here.
Now who's smoking, huh?
Oh, that was not yes. nice.
That was pretty quick.
Who's eating the pizza over there?
I know. I saw you.
It's really good,
devouring
too.
That pizza.
Absolutely, two pieces. I got to get it, man.
All right. What about the annuals? Did I say that right? I mean, come
you,
on.
You did.
All right.
Yes.
Annuals.
All right, one up for Peter, okay? I deserved it.
Annuals are great. The only problem we see is in the middle of the summer months when it is extremely hot and you're getting the heavy downpours. Most annuals, it's tough on them. They take a beating. They're not looking the best, and a lot of customers will call and say, hey, what's going on with these?
But they only live for so long, right?
They do. But what I try to suggest when we're installing, there's a few plants that we'll tend to use a little bit more in the summer months. Pentas, wax begonias, lantanas. Those are great plants to use in the middle of the summer. They take the heat very, very well. The water doesn't affect them if we're getting heavy downpours. and the appearance just looks much better.
Right. So, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, it can be expensive, too, when you replant an entire front area. I mean, you could put, you know, 50, 60 annuals out there just to spruce up the front entrance.
Absolutely.
For 6 months.
Right.
Yeah, so I know it
sometimes
gets kind of expensive.
Sometimes it's quarterly. We have a lot of HOAs. They don't want to wait, and they'll do it every 3 months.
That's why I told you, put hardy plants out there in my Newport Richie.
Yeah,
because I want
we did long-term plants. You should have good color.
Right.
See, that's the thing. You know, most people like, they go not by the hardiness, but just like, oh, what looks good? This is pretty. Let me put that out there. And then the sun kills it. And you're like, so you're on your second and third try. And
that happens a lot with tropical plants, too. A lot of people see the tropicals at Home Depot or wherever they might see them. And they're pretty. They're
Lowe's. John Evans Landscaping Services, right?
Sure, absolutely.
You sell those things.
I do, yeah. We install
them. That's good to know, okay. But they do see that, and then they're attracted.
They see them, and they're attracted to them. They're very colorful, vibrant. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't understand, in the winter months, we'll have a frost. If they're not tarping them with a frost tarp,
that's such a pain,
they'll die back, and it get quite expensive.
I know. There's some problems. So, all right, so are there plants that need the special care then? I mean, are there some that are more sensitive? I know there are certain palm trees that are. Is there, I think there's one called a Christmas palm.
Christmas palm.
And they're
really
pretty.
They are.
But aren't they very sensitive to the cold?
They are. There's several palms. They're not planted up here too often.
Really? In the south?
From
Southern
Sarasota
Florida.
To Miami, you'll see a lot more of the Christmas. The foxtails do well here, but they really thrive.
I love the foxtails.
Yeah, they really thrive down south.
I love the foxtails, too.
Yeah, me too. No, they're very pretty. I like the frond ends where they kind of tip up just like a foxtail.
Fishtail. The royal palm is one of my favorites.
Oh, those are beautiful.
They get very large, but they don't do quite as well up here. Seems like
I was going to ask you about that.
The Sarasota line seems to be the frost line where they don't like it.
Because we still get the cold temperatures.
We do.
Every now and then.
We talked a little bit about mulch, and we talked about, you know, chopped up shells and stuff like that. But when is it a good idea to put rock, you know, out in certain areas? Because rocks tends to hold moisture, right?
It does.
Than the mulch, the wood mulch?
It's about the same.
Hmm. Okay.
It'll tend to actually dissipate just the hair quicker, because the rocks do actually heat up where mulch doesn't heat up.
Right.
So if you're by a concrete walkway or a driveway.
Right. That's going to
really
reflect
hot.
That heat.
It does, and those rocks, believe it or not, get quite hot, so the plants can take a beating in the rocks. So it depends on...
It looks good, but...
It looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. I suggested it a
so lot. So maybe shaded areas is where you
shaded
should put rocks? Because rocks do look good.
What about the seashells? How does that work?
They're actually cool. They don't get hot. Yeah, you can walk on them.
My shells,
so are they better?
Your shells are cool.
Good. Your crushed
cool.
shells... Yes, are cool. Are they better than the mulch, the wood mulch then, or equal to?
It's still preference, you know, on how you want your yard.
As far as temperature is concerned, though, about the same?
About the same.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I like the way they look. So, okay, so how can a homeowner create a natural boundary line?
Well, a lot of homeowners might not prefer a wooden fence or a plastic fence behind their
fences are ugly, so
I called it a live fence when I put my viburnum that died. I put that in, and that was kind of mine, just inside my property line, because you don't want to put it on the property line.
Viburnum's a good choice. A lot of people use viburnum; they grow rather quickly.
You don't need a survey to put a landscaping boundary line in, do you?
Well, I'm not sure.
Unless your neighbor complains,
I don't know if you're going to be wanting to plant them on.
I was thinking about the hibiscus, and they said that sometimes when they're newly planted and you're coming up into the winter season, it's not a good idea. Is that false?
Hibiscus do well as a hedge line as well. They take a little more care, especially if you want to see.
They're pretty.
Exactly. If you want to see them blooming all the time, you got to trim them. You know. At certain times, you don't need to trim them late spring going in the summer. You want them to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, we got somebody on the air?
We got Kathy on the line.
Kathy. My turn. Kathy, hi. This is Ameritech Connection. You've got John Evans here to answer your question.
Thank you. I have a question about how often lawn care companies are supposed to come by and mow, because I got a letter from my HOA about mowing my lawn. Am I supposed to contact my lawn company and tell them to come out more often?
They should have in their contract the amount of cuts and season that they do. It's pretty standard. Usually right around April 1st, it goes to weekly. And then it tails off somewhere in October, depending on the amount of rain we get, to every other week. So we're not actually scalping or ruining a yard. We want to still leave it nice and lush and green. So if they're not coming at least once a week in the summer months, yeah, I'd be definitely giving them a call.
Okay. Hey, Kathy, hopefully we answered your question.
Yes, you did. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks so much for calling.
Peter, we're going to take a short 2-minute break.
You can have another couple slices of pizza during that
time.
Okay.
That's right, Peter. We'll be right back. 2 minutes, folks.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Joe owns his own business and, like you, is bombarded with hundreds of insurance offers. Joe can't decide exactly what or how much coverage he needs. Joe called Aegis Insurance Group. Joe met with an Aegis business advisor, and together they designed an insurance program specifically for Joe's needs. If you're confused about your insurance needs, call Aegis Insurance Group. Aegis, insurance protection tailored for you. Call today, 1-855-227-0262.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at triniconllc.com.
McDonald Pest Control is more than just another pest control company. We focus on providing outstanding service and quality products at a fair price. We feel you shouldn't pay for services you don't need, and we do not believe in overtreating or using excessive products. We evaluate each location and create an individual program that's designed to treat the needs of your home or business. McDonald Pest Control has the expertise to meet all of your commercial and residential needs, and we can get the job done right the first time. Set up an appointment today. Call us at 727-734-0963, or you can email us at mpcmanage@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection, folks. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Mr. John Evans, the CEO and owner of John Evans Commercial Landscaping Care. And today's topic is all about lawn care and keeping your grass green, flowers alive, and trees alive.
And vibrant.
And vibrant. Right, Peter?
It's all absolutely.
We're all about being vibrant here. All right, John. We're having a good time here, aren't we?
We are.
Oh, good. How long do hedges usually take to grow tall enough to be a fence? We were just talking about the hedges and the viburnum and the hibiscus. So just kind of give us an idea.
The levee situation is probably a little unique to itself, depending on how much sun that hedgerow might be getting, how much water, is it on a hill, something like that. But generally, a couple of years, you're getting very close to a full hedge. And it also kind of depends on what size plants do we start with. Do we start with 3,
that's true.
7, 15, 30 gallons? If we're starting with 30 gallons, you have a hedgerow.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And the bigger the plants, though, the more it costs, too, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It is substantially more for the larger plants, and a lot of people tend to want to start with the smaller ones and let nature do its job.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, we had a lot of conversation here tonight about irrigation systems and watering and too much water and so forth. But as a landscaper, and you've been doing this for your entire life, right?
A good chunk of it.
Good chunk of it. Yeah. So many, many years. What do you recommend As far as an irrigation system is concerned, if somebody's, you know, contemplating and putting an irrigation system out or replacing it, like, you know, we're going to replace the one out in Newport Richey, what do you recommend?
Well, we usually have to determine what they're trying to accomplish on their house or HOA. Sometimes it's adequate and it just needs a little tweaking. Sometimes we have to start fresh. Then the plants come to in consideration. Do we want to do a drip line irrigation? Do we need to spray over them?
Right.
Are there trees behind them? There's a little bit of thought and design that goes into each system.
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, a lot goes
into it. Now, what about the timer? I mean, the timer is critical as well, right?
Timer is critical, yeah. And
I don't know how to work mine.
It all comes down to...
They're complicated.
I know how to work your timer.
All right, we're all blushing now. Well, all right, where's that pizza?
Pizza's gone. It's all you now.
I know, it's all downhill now. All right, so
with the timers, it just comes down to basically, is it a commercial building? How many acres are we trying to accomplish? If it's a house, it's very simple. You know, you can even get something from your local store and start there.
All right, but right. If you install it yourself, obviously you're going to save a little money, but it's got to be complicated, right? I mean, what are some of the things that you have to consider? I mean, you
a
just
lot
said
of digging,
yeah,
right?
there's quite a bit to it. A lot of people have tried and do quite well. It's, you know, it's all on what they end up with is how hard they work at it, I guess, if they're going to do it themselves. It's a big job.
It is a big job.
Well, there's a lot of digging, too. I mean, you got to lay it out. You got to put something on paper,
there's
right?
There's trenching, there's wiring, there's your valves and solenoids, numerous elbows.
I would think that there is things underground that you have to be careful of, cable lines. And
yeah, before you even think about that, you're calling 811, and they're going to come out.
Oh, okay. And then they put those little flags up, right?
Yeah, they're going to mark your, not for just electrical. You might have gas in your property.
Right.
You might have...
I'd hate to hit that pipe, right?
Yeah, it's on your dime if you hit it, so...
You hit your gas pipe all the time.
You said it, not me.
Anyways, now...
Missed that one.
Yeah, I know, right? He's focused on his answer.
That's right. Let's talk a little bit about how much it would cost to install a sprinkler system. And I know it's pretty much predicated on zones, right? So, I mean, or the size. I mean, the size obviously determines zones. But an average system has five or six zones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rough number would probably be close to $1,000 per zone. But you have to really take into consideration how big the zone is.
Right.
And what they're trying to accomplish. So that number is really adjustable.
Now it's easier to hook it up to the city, what do they call that?
Reclaimed
water? I mean, that's easy, or the well. I mean, give us the pros and the cons
on that. Okay, depending on where you live, if you have reclaimed available, it's great. It's much cheaper than using city water.
Is that the well water?
No.
That's something different.
Yeah,
okay.
So you're either on city water, reclaimed if it's available to you. You can install a shallow or deep well, depending on where your property is, if it can be reached by a shallow
well. Do you recommend that?
It's much cheaper.
I heard it was, but then the water is so rusty, right?
Not all the time.
Yeah.
It really depends on location. I know in Palm Harbor, if you're on the north side of the ridge, perchance, like close to Innisbrook, you're getting rust no matter what. South side, close to downtown Palm Harbor.
Okay.
Zero rust.
Now,
really?
There is rough. It depends too on a well. I mean, you could dig into a rust. What do they call it? A rust puddle down there or something.
Yeah. If it's
right.
A rusty area.
Yeah.
And it is hit and miss on that.
I've seen some driveways just look horrible.
Yeah, it's tough to control.
How do you clean that?
Make systems that will clean it before it goes on your lawn or driveway, but it's very expensive.
Oh, right. I imagine.
They also sell a lot of chemicals.
I was just going to say, that's a lot of chemicals.
Snowcap is a chemical you can buy.
Yes, I remember that.
You can actually put that in your driveway or walls.
Which cleans up the rust.
Cleans up the rust, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And you'll be doing it once every 6-8 weeks.
Oh, that's a lot.
Or often. Or you probably do it for your clients, right?
A little bit. Luckily, we don't have too many rust problems.
Good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. All right, well, we've talked a lot about your business. Now, you also do the tree trimming. Right? And
yes.
And so can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, do you have You don't have an arborist, right?
We do not have an arborist. We are not a full tree service. We mostly do trimming up to 10 foot for HOAs and things like that. That would be in the contract. We do arborist cuts. We do nice work, but we're not licensed tree service. And we don't pursue it either.
Right, right. So, but you do cut. I mean, for example, you do all our palms.
Palm trees.
I mean, you're not going to take on the big oak that, you know, you got to have an arborist come out there and tell you specifically how to cut it. Yep. Even though I'm sure you get all these environmentalists to come out and say, you cut too many fronds off the palm, right?
It is true. You're supposed to follow.
I mean, what's the difference between that and a hurricane cut? I mean,
Hurricane pineapple, isn't that the same thing?
For example, I got a hurricane cut out at my Newport Ritchie office right now, right?
That's how they come. No, we didn't cut it like that. When you get new palms, that's how they come from the farm. But hurricane cuts have fallen out of favor. They tend to slow the growth of a palm and doesn't become very healthy over time. I recommend not cutting more than a third of the palm branches that are existing on a palm for healthy growth.
Right, because then it could get diseased, right?
Yes.
Because
now, that being said, a lot of customers will ask you to keep pruning, so it's up to the homeowner.
I like a nice,
certain situations.
You know, umbrella thing. All right. Folks, I just want to put a plug in for John Evans Landscaping because he's trustworthy. He's a good guy. He returns phone calls, and he's just a great great company. So if you're looking for a really, really good landscaper, call John Evans, 727-787-1068. I'll repeat that, 787-1068. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, folks. Keep listening. We're going to be right back with that and much more on the Ameritech Connection.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? You have issues. How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.